Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does religious rights and women's issues relate with apologetics? Cheryl Young works with Ratio Christi in the field of public relations and communication. She'll talk to us today about religious rights and women's issues as just a part of the broader spectrum of what she has, well, what God has placed on her heart. And the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to bring you, my friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. What is on your heart today? What's stirring there deep inside you? Is there a hunger, a spiritual hunger that you have? Is there a question that you have? Is there something that is troubling you? Well, all those things happen to us from time to time in our lives, so it's nothing out of the ordinary. But let me just say this at the beginning of our show. We're here to remind you, we want to bring you closer and closer to Jesus, to the one who loves you so much that no matter what you're facing or what you're going through at this moment, that Christ loves you so much he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today calls you to himself. No matter where you've been, what you've done, or how far away you've gone, there is always hope in Jesus. Cheryl Young knows about that. Cheryl's earned her bachelor's degree in theater education from the University of Illinois at Chicago and received her certification in Christian apologetics from Biola University. Cheryl, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny and Suzanne. Glad to be here.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Chicago, Illinois.
What part of Chicago and what was it like growing up there?
Well, I grew up on the north side of Chicago, but I was born and lived my first 6 years in Oak Park, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago to the north. So that neighborhood was, we were the only Jewish family in a neighborhood of Protestants and Catholics. Hmm. And that was key to my later salvation.
Well, what was it like being the only Jewish family there amongst Catholics and Protestants?
Yes. Well, I was a very small girl, but I do remember distinctly the fact that all of my little friends would have, like, little crosses on their neck, and I'd go to their house, and there'd always be a Bible there, and they would always be mentioning Jesus. So I went home one day, and I said, "Why can't we believe in Jesus?" I said to my mom, and even had exchanged, I had traded my little Star of David necklace, which is called the Mogen David, the Star of David, with one of my little friends for her cross, which, of course, made my mother run across the street and exchange them back again right away. But the answer I always got from my family, as well as the leaders of our synagogue, was, well, you'll just understand when you're older.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I was six, we moved into a all-Jewish neighborhood, and I forgot about my desire to know more about Jesus for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. During this time, Cheryl, who influenced you most? There in those younger years, who influenced you most at that time in your life?
Well, my grandparents were very, very observant Jewish people. And my grandmother used to light the Sabbath candles on Friday night. That's called the Shabbos candles. every Friday night, the lights would go down in the kitchen. She'd put on this beautiful white lace scarf, and she would light the candles to commemorate the Jewish Sabbath, which is from sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday evening. She and my grandfather were always took this, my sister and me to temple for the holidays. My parents, it turned out, were just going along with them. And so that after my grandparents passed away, my father announced that he was an atheist, and my mother turned her back on God because my grandmother suffered very much before she passed away.
Mm. How could God do that to my mother?
Yes. Yeah. And you know, that is something the devil often uses to keep people from seeing the Lord and loving the Lord. Even as Jewish people love the same God we do, and people that do believe their old Torah, they are expecting a Messiah, but they just don't know that it's Jesus. Hmm. So my grandparents very much believed in that. And one thing I should mention is another thing that had interested me in Jesus is when I was small, all of those movies were coming out, like Spartacus, The Ten Commandments, The Greatest Story Ever Told, The Robe, all of those movies about biblical events, and including about Jesus. So that was another reason I wanted to learn about him. But once we moved into that Jewish neighborhood, and I got into high school, and I got my bat mitzvah, which is the Jewish girl's confirmation at 13 years old. It's a bar mitzvah for a boy and bat mitzvah for a girl. And I read my portion of the Torah, as each person has to do for their bar or bat mitzvah. And I read a portion of Esther, but they never told me what I was saying. You see, we learned to say it phonetically. I didn't really ever learn to read Hebrew. So I didn't really know what I was saying, although, you know, I felt delighted to have my confirmation and everything.
Did you know the story of Esther? Excuse me, Cheryl. I mean, you quoted it, but did you know the story of Esther?
Yes, I knew the story of Esther. Of course, in Jewish Hebrew school, before you have your bar or bat mitzvah, you learn about the heroes in the Old Testament. You learn about David fighting Goliath, Ruth and her mother-in-law, and also you learn about Esther and all of the heroes of the Old Testament. So we did learn about that, but I didn't know exactly what I was reading in Hebrew. We did know that Esther went into the king and risked her own life.
Yes.
As the quote goes from Esther chapter 4:11, I believe, "For such a time of this as this, I must do what I'm doing."
Exactly. Thank you.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, that's a very long story, but I will try to keep it brief. Yes, as I was saying, I started going to an all-Jewish high school, and there all the kids had been through Hebrew school. And everybody would say, well, if Jesus was the Messiah, you know, he would have got down on the cross and rode in on his white horse right then and there, and everybody would have been taken back to Jerusalem right there. So that pretty much kind of dashed my desires to know Jesus because of all the peer, you know, all the peer pressure even back then. I did not find the Lord until I married a non-Jewish man, because by that time I was not an observant Jew at all. My father, my sister had followed my dad into atheism, and so I was not observing the Jewish holidays or anything. When I met my husband, he was also a non-observant Christian at the time. But he went, after some long discussions with his mother, who had returned to church, he went back to church one day without me knowing, and started going, and a couple weeks later he came back and he said, "I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Well, I thought, how can I, a Jewish girl, be married to a Christian? He's reading his Bible all the time now, and I didn't know what to do. But my husband became just that walking example of the peace that Christ gives you. And so I got eager to learn about what he was learning about, and I said, well, I can either go to his church and study and prove him wrong or see what else happens. So I went to his church with him, and you know there are no coincidences with God, right?
Exactly.
Well, they were in the middle of studying the comparisons between Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah and the New Testament, Jesus' activities and his ministry. So they were studying all the verses about the Messiah from the Old Testament that compared to what Jesus actually did and how he died and was raised again. All those old feelings about wanting to know him when I was a little girl came rushing back, and it only took me several months to discover Jesus as the Messiah.
What difference, yes, Cheryl, would you say Christ has made in your life?
Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of Jewish families will turn against their Jewish children or spouses or whoever when they accept Jesus because they say they are forsaking their Jewish roots. But I can tell you it's quite the opposite. I began to appreciate my Jewishness, my Jewish roots, even more, knowing that Jesus was a Jewish man, you know, and he did not really come to start a whole different religion. He came to straighten out what the Pharisees and Sadducees were making of their faith, of their Hebrew faith at that time. So, you know, many of us who do accept Jesus as Jewish believers, we don't feel he really came to start a whole other religion. You know, that's what happened from his followers. But really, he said he was just coming to make the Jewish people realize that he was the real Messiah. But at that time, they were doing so many things to help them keep the Ten Commandments. You know, the Jewish people, by the 3rd or 4th century, had set up over 567 rules and regulations they had to follow every week to help them keep the Ten Commandments. Mm. So they were so busy, they couldn't see the forest through the trees, and they didn't know it was the Lord standing right in front of them.
And I think through that, even as you explain in that example, very graphic from the standpoint of the unbearableness, really, of the overwhelmingness of being able or trying to carry the burden of fulfilling the details, even man-made details of a law. When we come back from our break, Cheryl, let's talk further about, well, your testimony has something very much to do with the ministry that you are a part of now with Ratio Christi.
Yes,
it's an apologetics ministry. But here's the thing. Testimonies are in many ways hard to refute because it's your story. It's the story of Cheryl Young. It's the story of Suzanne Maurer. It's the story of Danny Yamashiro. You put your name in there, dear one.
Yeah.
It's your story. But when we come back, well, maybe someone today, they've heard your story of becoming a believer, Cheryl, but they have not yet themselves trusted Christ. Maybe they will. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, Cheryl Young, well, as a small girl, she was raised in the only Jewish home in her neighborhood among Protestants and Catholics. She often asked why her family couldn't believe in Jesus. And the answer was always, you'll understand when you're older. Well, she got older and she gained understanding, and she's here to share with us heart to heart. This is the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. I'm grateful that you're with us today. Thanks for joining us. Suzanne Maurer with me, my co-host. Cheryl Young, our guest. You can find out more about her and her dynamic ministry with a plethora of resources available for you at ratiochristi.org. It's an apologetics ministry, and they are really impacting the world in a very significant way. ratiochristi.org. Maybe you're tuning in right now, caught the tail end of the last segment. Hey, you can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. I would say go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get it, share it with a family member or friend. Cheryl, you grew as a believer. Now, in your walk with Christ, how did you become interested in the ministry of apologetics?
Well, it did take quite a few years for me to even know what apologetics was, and then I realized I had actually been doing it. Although I didn't know the label it had, after I became a believer in Jesus, it took about 2 years for my eyes to really be opened to the downturn in our culture. And even then, this was 1987 to around 1991, even then we could see traditional Judeo-Christian values kind of going down a slippery slope. I went to a conference at a woman's ministry, Kay Arthur at Precept Ministries. I don't know if you've heard of her. And found out quite a bit about the agendas in public school. Wanted to know what to do about that. And I contacted a group called Concerned Women for America, which is the conservative opposite of some of the very liberal women's organizations that we have today. And I actually ended up becoming a researcher for them on public education in America. From there, I learned so much about what our kids were being taught, how Christian and Jewish free speech was kind of coming under fire in public education. And that's how my eyes were opened to studying what I now know is apologetics. I did lots of research on how Christians could refute evolution as truth, could refute the fact that traditional families weren't good enough, quote-unquote, that there were other types of families, as they say. And that's how I really discovered apologetics.
Cheryl, explain for our listeners real quickly the term apologetics, please.
Sure. Thank you for asking. Well, apologetics doesn't mean at all that we're apologizing for our faith. It just means, like 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope you profess. And the word apologia comes from the Greek to give a reason for. So it's by no means making an excuse for our faith or apologizing for the faith that we find in Christ. And what's involved in apologetics is helping people learn that there's so much evidence in history, science, and philosophy that actually backs up the Bible, proves the Word of God as truth, and proves the miraculous birth, life, death, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these are the things we teach students in college and high school in Ratio Christi. We teach them the history, philosophy, and science that gives them solid, tangible evidence to back up the Bible. Because today, you know, you can't just say, I believe the Bible because the Bible says so. People are asking you to have a reason, because they're saying Christianity has no logic or reason behind it.
Thank you.
How does religious rights relate with apologetics?
Well, sure. Today, if you heard about all the campus craziness going on, in the name of tolerance, we actually have reverse intolerance, because people don't think that conservatives, and especially Christians, have the right to free speech in public places, because a big marketing tool by secular activists is the fact that our speech is hate speech. And the first Supreme Court Justice John Jay, I believe, once said, if you begin, other people have said this, but it does go all the way back to him, if you begin to say something often enough, people are going to start to believe it. So they believe Christian speech is hate speech, and we are being cut off from having the same right to speak on campus and, of course, elsewhere that other people have.
Would that not be considered a certain form of Christian? I'm just sort of putting this together, but a certain level of Christian phobia?
Yes. They say we have other kinds of phobias, xenophobia, Islamophobia, homophobia, but what you don't hear a lot is Christianophobia. And we are acquainted at Ratio Christi with an expert on this topic, a Dr. George Yancey, who writes quite a bit about Christianophobia and how we could go and say people are fearing us and hating us just as much as we are being accused of it toward other people, whereas, of course, it's not true. We want to spread Jesus' love to other people.
But using the same logic, the same reasoning that is used to, say, create an argument for Islamophobia or some other kind of phobia, right? That same logic
exactly.
Could be used for Christianophobia.
It sure could be. It could be, but it's being rejected by our society because, you know, we're not really, as Ephesians 6 says, we're not really wrestling with people who feel this way. We believe this is a tactic of the devil to keep people from believing in Christ. But they don't feel that intolerance toward Christians is the same as intolerance towards somebody else.
What about women's issues? How do women's issues connect with apologetics?
Well, we do have women in apologetics who are becoming experts on discussing women's rights, as far as the right to be a pro-life person. You know, there is a lot of talk out there that women don't even have the right to be pro-life. You have to be pro-choice or pro-abortion to be a real woman, and that is not just toward anyone that's Christian, but anybody that, you know, there are other people that may not believe in abortion because they know how abortions are done and everything. But you are considered intolerant if you are a pro-life Christian, and especially a pro-life woman. We can see how beat up Mrs. Sarah Palin was in the press when she was running for vice president. You're just not supposed to be pro-life anymore. Beside that, there are other women's issues that we defend from an apologetics viewpoint, you know, just such as everything from equal pay to everything else related to women's health can be defended from some points in apologetics. You just have to give people the reasons. Sometimes it takes statistics. You know, there are many, many health statistics that say that premarital sex is quite dangerous, and that's one of the reasons the Lord says to flee immorality, not to have premarital sex. But, you know, a lot of girls today are made fun of for being a virgin. You know, back in my day, we kind of didn't like the girls that were known for being loose. Well, today, the girls that are virgins are made fun of.
We're so dating ourselves, Cheryl, but that's okay. It's true.
We are dating ourselves. So that can be addressed, you know, from some apologetics viewpoints. Now, a lot of that may come in just from logic and common sense, Suzanne. It's not necessary to really provide history or statistics, but there is history and statistics that prove the traditional family without premarital sex is the healthiest way to raise a family.
Mm-hmm. When we come back from our break, Cheryl, let's talk. I'm going to just, you know, open it up and say, hey, you know, give us the, if you can, in a concise way, the ethos of the ministry, Ratio Christi, at least from your perspective. Why, dear one, as you listen today to Cheryl Young, why does she do what she does? What really energizes her? What is it about the ministry that interfaces or integrates with her relationship with Jesus Christ that causes her to experience a great level of fulfillment, her gifts as a writer, the creative research abilities that God has given her? Why do all these things converge, and why is God using that through the ethos of Ratio Christi, that feeling? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
I thank God for the opportunity to work with and for Ratio Christi. These are the words of Cheryl Young. In the effort, she says, to train and encourage students, leaders, and educators to express their Christian faith express their Christian faith freely within and beyond their academic settings. What a privilege. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thanks for joining us. I believe today, as you listen, as we share in this time together, you're going to be enriched. And well, it's a blessing to us to know that you're being enriched, that you're being encouraged, and being drawn closer to the Lord if you don't know Him just yet as your Savior and Lord of life. Well, that's our desire and that's our prayer. That's why we're here. You can find out more about Ratio Christi at ratiochristi.org. And The Good Life Hawaii, well, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Cheryl, what is the ethos of Ratio Christi?
Well, you know, our culture is to be counterculture to what's going on today. We want to start a renaissance of Christian thinking on college campuses and even with high school kids before they reach the college campus door. And I'll tell you why. The college campus is the most influential institution in Western civilization. It's where we get all our professors, lawyers, doctors, judges, scientists, teachers from university. And as we've already discussed, the Christian worldview is still questioned in college today. And many Christian students enter college unprepared to deeply explain why they believe in Christ, not only to non-believers in their own generation, but to campus educators and administrators. I don't know if a lot of your audience saw the movie God's Not Dead, the first one, but we teach kids to do what the character Josh had to walk into the classroom and do all by himself, and that was to use logic and reasoning and evidence to prove the existence of God. But I'm glad you asked me the question about women's rights and things like that, because it brought up the fact that we don't only use apologetics to prove what happened in the Bible is true. We use it to give people good, absolute truth about how to live today. One of the key arguments today in our society is there is no absolute truth. But people don't realize that they're contradicting themselves when they say that, because if they believe it's the absolute truth that there's no absolute truth, then that's not the absolute truth either. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, to bring the Christian viewpoint back into respectability on the campus. And we also have an outreach to professors, because without the professors, Jesus can't be allowed back into the classroom in writing papers or any of the things that our kids are being denied the ability to do today. I mean, they're being given failing grades for writing about Jesus. Football teams, as you know, are being told they can't pray. Cheerleaders are not being allowed to hold up signs of their own choosing with a Bible verse. And that's all very against the First Amendment. So we're developing critical thinkers, ambassadors for Christ at school, and they will continue being so wherever they go afterward. The National Education Association for many years, which I learned while I was with Concerned Women for America, has been in a pursuit of getting children to ignore their parents. Mm-hmm. This has been a very secular agenda for about 30 years now. If they get them to ignore their parents, they can turn them away from their parents' religious influence. And this is the result we're seeing today, is the kind of campus craziness we have going on, where young students don't even believe that Christian students even have the right to speak anymore. And we're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism against Judaism as well, against Jewish people.
Well, I'm glad you're pushing back. I think pushback is not only healthy, but it's necessary. And it seems like there is a growing force of organizations, leaders, especially in the realm of academia. Not just critically minded people, but very, very intelligent, bright people who are pushing back and, well, in some ways using some of the same arguments that have been used against, but now in this case using for. Talk to us about the integration of Ratio Christi Journal.
The Ratio Christi Journal?
Yes.
You mean our newsletter?
Yes.
that we put out? Oh, sure. Well, we do a bi-monthly national newsletter, and we have all kinds of things in there, articles about upcoming events that people could be interested in. We interview our outstanding students that win what we call our Laudatus Christi recognition, and that means to be an ambassador for Christ, and it's a challenge to them to keep using the apologetics they've learned. So we have interviews with them. Right now we're running a 10-part series by our Julie Loth, whom I believe you've also interviewed, about how to prepare your college freshmen spiritually. They will see quotes from people, quotes from students, quotes from leaders, and if they want to sign up for the Ratio Christi Journal, they can just go to ratiochristi.org to the contact page and choose what they want to sign up to receive there. So that's bi-monthly. And it tells also about how to find out about our chapters. We have 170 chapters or even more in various stages of formation, from active to growing interest on college campuses. We have 30-plus full-fledged high school groups and more mentors being trained for that.
Okay, and so what goes on in these chapters?
Sure. Well, most of them meet weekly. These are very regularly meeting clubs, and they constitutionalize into extracurricular clubs, just like the debate club or the Spanish club or something like that, to be accepted on campus, to meet weekly, to discuss the history, philosophy, and science that backs up the Bible, but also to discuss how to approach people with this information. They're taught to, they bring in concerns that have come up on campus during the week, and they also are trained to invite their atheist friends, skeptics, students of other faiths to the meeting, so they can have friendly discussions on why Christianity is a viable faith in today's society. And then each chapter that is sort of what I would call weathered, a well-established chapter, is also required to do at least one major campus-wide event per year, addressing some topics that would draw interest from all walks of life.
Tell us about the leader, your leader, the head, the president or executive director of Ratio Christi.
Our president and CEO right now is Dr. Corey Miller. He is himself an adjunct professor at a university in Indiana, and he has just done a wonderful job of leading us into all of the programs that we're reaching out with now, especially the professor outreach, since he's a professor himself. And he was indeed discriminated against at a university for his Christian worldview. He did overcome that case, and that's one of the reasons why reaching professors is so important to him. You know, Corey Miller, that's our president, he often says, in today's college campus and society, we not only need to defend our faith, but we need to defend our right to defend our faith.
Take a few steps back. Yeah.
Yes, we need to defend our right to defend our faith in public. And he's also an ex-Mormon. He was raised Mormon in Utah and found his way to biblical Christianity and has a book coming out about that in a couple months.
Corey Miller,
President
of Ratio Christi. You can find out more at ratiochristi.org. When we come back, Cheryl, I'm wondering, I'm sort of setting this up for our next and final segment. One of the things that we have found through the years when it comes to our work here, the work of evangelism, is stories that people share. And quite often, you know, we ask a question, but we don't know exactly how someone is going to answer because it's so personal. Mm-hmm. But it's a question that has, and it's very, it is a personal question, and it has to do with how the Lord has helped you through difficult times. I'm wondering if I can ask that question of you when we come back. Because what we've often found is there is a transferability of relatedness when our listeners hear someone share their own challenge, their own struggle, and this sort of, well, this transcendence goes beyond not just a Christian as you are encouraging another Christian. It opens the heart of a person that doesn't even know the Lord, because they can relate with the human experience of pain.
Yes.
Could we talk a little bit? I mean, it's a question I'll ask, you answer as the Lord leads you, but could we do that?
Of course. Yes.
More from Cheryl Young. Hey, we're going to go heart to heart with you, okay? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guest. Cheryl
guests.
Young, well, she came to Ratio Christi, the organization. By the way, you can find out more at ratiochristi.org. She came to Ratio Christi in early 2014 after 16 years as a professional freelance writer for newspapers, magazines, websites, doing feature articles, research, commentary, columns, and interviews. Well, today I have the privilege of interviewing her, as she has spoken so eloquently and with a great level of clarity about the ministry, ratiochristi.org. Cheryl, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, you know, I haven't suffered a lot of tragedies. But when I was raised, my mother had put me in all kinds of theater activities, and I did end up getting my bachelor's degree in theater education. And when you're in theater, it's all about you. I had what I call a very bad case of attentionitis. I craved attention. And what the Lord did for me was He just taught me, through learning His word, so much about humility, that we were put here on the earth to worship Him and tell other people about Him, and that we need to turn all of the glory over to Him. And I started doing a study on that, because I thought, Lord, you know, in the world, there's only about, there are over 12 and a half million Jewish people, and only about 1.5 million of us are Jewish believers in Jesus. And I started asking him, Lord, why did you open my eyes? Why am I the person whose eyes you opened to this magnificent presence of Jesus as the Messiah? And that's when I started learning about faith and accepting the Lord's discipline and suffering, you know, to identify with him. I did get very, very ill in 1999 and 2000 with a mysterious ailment that nearly took my life. And it took 2 years for the doctors to find what was wrong. In fact, I had to go out to alternative medicine. The traditional doctors just weren't finding it. And that would be a very long story to tell you. It wasn't cancer. It was a mysterious autoimmune disease. And, you know, there was a point at which the doctors had my family convinced that I was just a hypochondriac. And I had to rely on him when I was very, very weak to even get up every day. And I said, Lord, you know, you're either going to drop me where I stand and then they'll do an autopsy and they'll finally figure out that something was really wrong, or you're going to get me through this. And eventually I met a lady that had been through the same thing, and she could just simply see it on my face. And she said, you need this doctor. And as I said before, there's no God coincidences with God. I went to her doctor and he got me on the road to recovery. And I think that is one of the hardest periods I've had, because people turned against me. They thought I was simply anorexic because I was losing so much weight, while really I was looking at people with love handles and saying, I wish I had those. you know, even my husband started believing the doctor, who was just saying I was just a hypochondriac. But besides that, I believe that the Lord has kept our marriage together. I truly believe that if you have Jesus between the two of you, you can get through anything. And then there's the fact that my family are still atheists, and the situation is not good. And my husband's family, who mostly did come back to their Christian roots, have become my family for the last 30 years or so. Mm. And that's what Christ has done. You know, Psalm 34:19 says, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. And nothing can separate us from God's love once we have it.
You mentioned your family still atheists. Now, there's a certain level of contrast, seeing that atheists and you're involved in an apologetics ministry. How do you reconcile the tension that exists? I would imagine you're looking for ways to reach them, and they may not be open. So how do you continue to move forward in that type of context?
Yes. Well, it may be easier for me than some other people, because I don't live near my father or my sister. My mom passed in 2009, but my husband and I live near his mother. So that may be easier for me, but I just simply had to be forthcoming, especially when I started with this ministry, to tell them this is what I do. And as I started learning the apologetics more, I have actually been able to have conversations that have been better accepted by them because of the way I present myself than it used to be. But the relationship is not really, really good yet. I pray for them all the time. And as many Christians know who have unsafe family, not only Jewish unsafe family, but any unsafe family, sometimes it's not you that can reach them. You need to pray for some other person to reach them, because they know where you've been, and they'll be like, well, how dare you tell me you've got something mm-hmm. better than me? I know where you came from.
Right.
But regarding Jewish families, you know, Jewish atheism is the largest growing sect of Judaism. Mm. Jewish people often feel they can be good Jews by just observing the traditions and culture, without really believing in God or worshiping him. So there's another angle there. I have to get them back to God first before I can convince them that Jesus is the Messiah of both the Jews and the Christians.
Well, that's intriguing to me, seeing that all the traditions emerge from a belief in God. How do they make sense of the traditions void of God, the originator of the tradition? I'm curious. How is that thought through from your vantage point?
Mm-hmm. Well, they believe the Torah, which is the Old Testament to Christians, but they would call it the Torah or the Holy Scriptures, the original Hebrew Holy Scriptures. They believe that they are sacred to be held for what they have in them for yesterday, to observe those traditions, but it's not a book for today's living, except for going back and observing those traditions. But many Jewish people don't read past the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, except for learning the stories, usually verbally, that I told you about before, Esther, Ruth, David, you know, the heroes of the Old Testament. So they don't read into Judges, they don't read into Kings, they don't read into the prophets, and so they don't often see, unless they're a rabbinical student studying to be a rabbi or someone else that ministers in the temple, they don't learn the books after the books of law. So they don't see all of the comparisons to the New Testament.
Well, it's quite fascinating, I think, when we probe a bit into the mind of atheism, and more so, the Jewish atheism. And I say that from the fountainhead context of evangelism, understanding how others think and feel and move and why they do what they do in order to build a bridge with them in order to hold a dialogue, a friendly conversation, and then to begin to reason together over the course of time. You live it, you do it. That's what Ratio Christi does with a great deal of excellence. And I marvel at the growth of the ministry, and I'm excited about what's in store. Give us a snapshot of what you know, at least at this point. What's in store? What has the Lord given to Dr. Corey Miller and the leaders there of what can be expected through Ratio Christi in the days to come?
Well, you know, we have the chapters on 170 campuses, but there's over 2,000 universities and colleges in the country. We would like to be in all of them. So what we do is
Why not, right?
We don't compete with other campus ministries because we concentrate on apologetics. So we form partnerships with other campus ministries. We also form partnerships with many of the seminaries in the country, and that is where we get our leaders for our chapters. And as we form more of these partnerships, there are people getting degrees in theology and apologetics and not knowing what they're going to do with them. And those colleges are now lined up with Ratio Christi to say, you can go become a chapter director and lead college kids into this learning apologetics. So that is one thing we're working more on, finding more leaders so we can have more chapters. You know, every time we try to go into a city where students are interested in a chapter, doesn't mean we automatically have someone in that city who's ready to do it. So we do need people all over to be interested enough to come and be leaders with us.
Well, the leaders that become a part of Ratio Christi, these scholars that graduate from seminaries, is highly trained, looking for a place to, in a way, unleash the ministry gifts that God has given them and have trained them for. How are they supported financially? How do they make their living?
Thank you so much. You know, we believe so much in our ministry that many, many of us are supported missionaries. We are tent makers. We are raising our own support to do this. Some of our leaders, some of our boots on the ground leaders are bivocational. They still have jobs and they're doing Ratio Christi on the side. And many of them even start feeling more strongly about it and start moving toward being supported missionaries for us. We gather finances from only individuals and organizations. We get no funding from any government. We're completely a nonprofit, grassroots, individually raising support. And so we have, right now, we have a challenge going on that if someone donates, there's a matching challenge and a matching grant. And so if you donated, say, $100, somebody is out there who is willing to match that with another $100.
Well, I want to make sure in these final moments of our program, with a certain level of assertion, encourage the support of Cheryl Young, the support of other staff members. Others have been on our show, like Tony Gurley and Julie Lowe's, to stand with them. And there may be someone that you know of now who is considering, maybe they've sent you an email, made a phone call, want to talk about the possibilities of standing with them as a missionary on the college campuses. Yes. Through this work, Ratio Christi, to prayerfully consider standing with them as the Lord leads, with a great level of generosity, because of the expansion of God's kingdom through the strategic special ops way Ratio Christi is doing evangelism.
Yes, the special ops ministry. So if they go to our website, over on the right-hand side, there's a tab that says Donate. And right next to that is a search field where they can just enter the word employment and see all the different ways they can get involved with Ratio Christi.
There you have it. Cheryl Young, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Danny, Suzanne, thank you so much for giving all of us from Ratio Christi an opportunity to give our testimonies and speak about our wonderful ministry.
Heartfelt indeed from Cheryl Young, again at ratiochristi.org. My friend, you know, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now, I believe, to share the love of Jesus Christ. Hey, we've been talking about that with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a simple presentation of the gospel for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support and your prayers, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Partners. And I want to thank you in advance. Psalm 119, 129. Your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Cheryl Young at ratiochristi.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.